You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 17 October. Today in 1973, OPEC enacted its oil embargo. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Audra Mugwenshu. He's from Momentum. A lot happening. Premier wants to buy RFG Rhodes Food Group, PSG Financial Services. Really good results. And gold. We're on track for 9 green weeks in a row. First time ever. Mike Brown, ETFSA, State of the Exchange Traded Product Report for third quarter. Record assets under management. Thoughts from me, NVIDIA, TSMC, ASML. Do they have a Buffett-style investment moat? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, South Africa, we have a gambling problem. Gross gambling revenues are growing more than 25% a year as more South Africans admit to their problems. Business day, gold price adds muscle to DRD Gold's Joburg expansion. Extra cash from record gold prices sets the stage for company's next phase of expansion. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.6%, NASDAQ down 0.4%. The 10-year, 3.949. We haven't seen that number with a 3 for a long time. Over in the east, it's red. Sydney off 0.5%. Tokyo almost 1% lower. Hong Kong a little over 1.5% down. And Tencent a little under 1.5% lower. Commodities, mostly green. Gold futures, 4,373. Brent is the red, 60.92. Platinum, 1,738. Palladium, 1,675. The Rand, 1735. Bitcoin, 109,100. And top 40 opening call, red open, 580 points or 0.55% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Audra Mugwenshu from Momentum. Audra, appreciate the early morning time. Let's kick off with that deal from Premier Group looking to buy RFG Rhodes Food Group. I got to say, it looks like a good fix between the two of them. And initially, weirdly enough, the Premier share price was actually trading somewhat higher. That didn't hold for the close. Your thoughts on a I was going to say merger. Truthfully, it is a buying out of Rhodes Food by Premier. Thoughts on the deal from you?
I think, as you rightfully said, the synergies are just so aligned, and it would work better for Premium as well. And it will also give them a fighting chance in that that food space, you know, with the likes of Tyc Brands, AVI. So I do think on both ends, it does look profitable. And if you look at, you know, the deal itself, you see that, I mean, after the merger should happen, you're looking at a 15% climb in the EPS, for example, and asset values expected to go up by more than 30%. So again, I think for me on both sides, it does seem beneficial.
And it is two businesses that are same but different. Premier is baking, is flour, is dry goods. Of course, RFG, I mean, they've got their fancy sort of pre-cooked meals selling into Woolies and the like. There's not much overlap, which is maybe a good start as well for the deal.
Yes, 100%, which helps then with the competition side of things in terms of concentration on that front. And the synergies, again, they also the brands also work in two. For example, you said fast products, but also if you look at the spreads, etc., it does make it a nice home for Rhodes Food Groups.
And Premier's been a really good listing on the JSE. PSG Financial Services, used to be PSG Consult back in the day. Results out, strong numbers. I suppose not unexpected. This really is where they should be. I mean, headline earnings per share. A dividend up 18%, recurring headline up 21%. This is, I mean, in a bull market, which we're seeing right now, brokers do well. They, of course, have got a significant wealth segment as well. And frankly, it is a good business. Those were good numbers. And if you look at the share price, the market has been waking up to it.
Yes, I mean PSG has been performing very well over the past years, and I think they I mean their business is, as you said, now they are well in alignment in terms of this booming market. They did also mention that, I mean, they are well diversified, so not to have too much concentration, meaning share portfolios are performing well, and I mean across the board almost double digit except for that insurance. Everything was double digit except for the insurer, but instead of the double-digit growth, where they made some, nice moves, capital cover ratio doing very well, almost at 300%. So that is very great in terms of their cash flows as well, remaining strong, and the coverage. It's really poisoning them for acquisitions at this point.
I hadn't thought of that, of course. I mean, it's good to be a broker, but now you're suddenly making tons of cash. What do you do with it? Surprisingly, the stock was down a little bit yesterday, 2.6%. I suppose that's just, it's a slightly illiquid share. It was only, some 35 million traded. I mean, no worries in that. That is just that, sometimes market buys the rumor, sells the fact, and that doesn't in any way take away from the potential here. This is not a stock that is significantly expensive.
Exactly. I think, I mean, it's been quite frankly overlooked over the past few years. They consistently outperform, and they always position themselves in great places. For example, Capitec, if you bring that up, they're always in great positions, and they find potential. I think right now, I mean, outside of acquisitions, they've been spending a lot of money on the technology as well, up 15%. The business is just, building a fort right now in terms of what's next.
So now I come to my really hard question, gold. And I'll take you back to late August. Gold was trading $3,300 odd. We've now had, this is now the ninth week in a row where the gold price has been green. I can't see it closing red this week. It's been a giant week. It's up $1,000, 33% in 2 months. Don't get me wrong, I have gold exposure. I'm liking it. At what point do we just scratch our head and say, we don't know, but yo, this metal is really absolutely flying?
That's the issue. The issue is we don't have crystal balls. We do not know what's to come. The issue is this time around, I think there are a lot of factors that are coming into play, one of which the U.S. government shutdown. We also have central banks also, buying a lot of gold. And I think it all pertains to the United States. A lot of the issues is, I mean, remember when with Russia, when they were sanctioned, they took the dollar reserves. So it's also a form of protection against the dollar at this point, if you look at reserve banks. I think for the retail investor, looking at gold right now as a safe haven, we might see that quite a stretch. You might be cautious on that front. However, overall, I think there still might be some legs, unfortunately. But where the high is, no one knows.
No one knows. I did speak to Meryl Peck from Old Mutual Investment Group way back, April. She said 4,500. We are now, that could happen before we finish our breakfast. We leave it there. Audra McGrenchy, Momentum. Always appreciate the early morning time. And our poll today, is the yellow metal looking overdone to the upside? Do we have more upside? I don't know. 9 green weeks, if we close green today, and we almost certainly will, is that never been seen before in gold. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Mike Brown here, of course, ETFSA. Mike, appreciate the time. Your latest state of the ETP, exchange traded product industry report out. This is for end September. And for the first time, the collective market cap of the exchange traded products, we're through 250 billion, a quarter of a trillion. It's taken a while to get here, but it is a noteworthy landmark for the industry.
Yes, no, it's an industry getting bigger all the time. And in fact, the overall market cap of all the ETFs, ETNs, and other products in that sort of category listed on the JSE is now 284 billion rand. So the next thing, perhaps even before the end of the year, will be over 300 billion rand in ETPs, and we're currently on 284 products. So we might even have 300 ETFs and other products listed on the JSE by the end of this year. So it's really the momentum is growing quite strongly at the moment.
It is, and some of it's new issuances, but a lot of it is just the increase in value. And I'm thinking, for example, the Satrix Resi is more than doubled. I mean, it has been a good year to hold almost any exchange-traded product in our market.
That's exactly. That's it's a nail on the head. The overall size of the market cap of the ETP industry has grown by 60 billion rand to date this year, first 9 months, of which 14.7 billion, let's say 15 billion of that was new capital. In other words, new ETFs being created or further issues of ETFs that are already being listed, just raising new capital. So the rest of it is market growth, and everything's growing. Bonds have gone up, so have commodities, so have equities. You know, it's been a good year all around. And if you get a good year like that, just buying an ETF that gives you exposure to the market is often the best economical investment strategy you can look at.
Yeah, I mean, just a top 40 ETF has done you some 30%, which is, yeah, if you did that in 3 years, you would be, but you've done it in, well, little under 10 months at this point. We're also seeing growth in not so much the ETFs, but certainly the actively managed certificates. We're seeing good growth there. We're seeing some growth in actively managed ETFs, exchange-traded notes, sort of the ETP part. But we are seeing a number of new issuances come to market in aside from just the ETFs.
Yes, well, you've obviously read the report so fairly carefully because I haven't highlighted that. I thought I'd wait till the end of the year and then bring it up. But what has happened now, we've got 101 actively managed products listed in the JSE. And don't forget, actively managed products only really started in 2023.
Yeah.
And as against the rest of them are still ETFs, 284 products, 101 of them are actively managed. So the passive index tracking industry is still bigger. But one thing that is interesting, and I haven't, as I say, highlighted in this report, but I'll probably say more about it going forward, is that more money, new money, went into actively managed products this year than went into passively managed ETFs. So, you know, the debate is, should you be passive or should you be active? That debate's over. What's happening is a lot of active managers are saying, no, let's just become ETPs and let's list on the stock exchange. And so that's a big change in behavior. And there's now 53 different asset managers that have listed actively managed products. Now, that's quite a lot. And that probably says that a lot of the active managers are saying, well, if you can't lick them, join them. Let's go and list our products on the JSE. And there's some big benefits to that. It's much cheaper. You're actually handing over your – you don't have to run your own registration and your own trading and all the rest. You just outsource it to the stock exchange and – a lot more efficient and a lot more effective and cheaper, and the investors are getting a better deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's that distribution which is so hugely important. In terms of size, it's still Satrix manages, what, almost 89 billion of assets under management. Signia just under 50, and then Absa just over 48. But Satrix remains the big one with the largest issuing as well in terms of absolute numbers.
Yeah, Satrix is, you know, it's maintaining its position. In fact, it's getting bigger than anybody else in the industry in terms of its rate of growth. And it's interesting that it hasn't issued any actively managed products. So they're purely just sticking to old-fashioned ETFs. They may have something in the pipeline because I'll be surprised if Sonlum and Satrix between them don't join the actively managed bandwagon. But for the time being, they're not doing it. But they are getting bigger. Mm-hmm. And in the end, if you want to buy, you know, an ETF on the any major index, whether it's the S&P 500 or the World Index or the top 40 in South Africa or whatever have you, Satrix has got the product.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've captured, you know, if you want a product, you know, you can just go to one house name and that's Satrix and they'll give it to you. And that efficiency, I think, is working in their favor.
And Absa, I mean, Absa's sitting there in third place, 48 billion of assets under management. They've only got three ETFs, five ETNs and an AMC. It really is the ETFs. It really is New Gold. I mean, this has been a golden year for gold, and Absa reaping the benefit as New Gold shoots the lights out.
Yes, well, what's happened, as you know, commodities have done exceptionally well. I mean, the gold price has doubled now in what, 2 years or so, and we've seen platinum up by nearly 50% so far this year. So those ETFs that track the price of, you know, precious metals in the market have done very well. But one of the surprising things is that in the third quarter, there were more redemptions, in other words, people cashing in their gold and platinum ETFs than there were new money coming to them. So there seems to be quite a lot of profit taking taking place in the industry. Now, that's been wrong because the commodity gold keeps going to new highs all the time. So it doesn't mean every investor's a genius. It just means they've got it wrong, or perhaps they're just taking short-term profits. But there is that commodity movement to commodity ETFs has been the big thing for ABSA. And you know, when people realize, well, maybe this commodity price run is not over yet, you could see another surge of money into those gold and platinum and even rhodium and palladium is starting to pick up quite a bit just recently.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has been. I mean, the run has continued post September end, but of course, you've potentially still done very, very well. There's a couple of new kids on the block. One of them is Easy ETFs. They took over a bunch and they're doing well as well. I mean, it's only $1.5 billion in their three active ETFs, but they've only been around, about a year. And it is only three of them in the active space.
Yes, well, this is Easy Equities that took a long time to get their ManCo registered and get off the ground. And they have three actively managed ETFs, two of them in global markets and one is a balanced fund in the South African market. Yes, and it's gathered about R1.5 billion of money. Well, Easy Equities keeps telling us they've got 2 million investors in their business, so you'd expect it to be bigger. So I think there's still quite a lot of growth there, but that's nice. It's a new name. And I'd expect to see some product development coming from them, and I'd expect to see them continuing to grow. And that's a nice thing. A few years ago, we only had 10 companies issuing ETPs. Now it's up to, I think it's 16 in the last count I had, and there's more still to come. We know of quite a few active managers who said we'd do ETFs of our dead bodies. Well, there's a couple of dead bodies that have been moved out the way, and they're going to be joining the ETF industry. They've already joined or they're going to join very shortly.
That's a good point. And I mean, you were there at the founding of the Satrix 40, the first ETF. That will be 25 years ago next month. It's taken us 25 years to get to that almost $290 billion. But this is an industry with real momentum behind it. I mean, there's no chance it's going to take another 25 years to double. It's probably going to happen fairly quickly. This is an industry that has really matured and has now got that momentum behind it.
Yes, it's sort of slowly. I mean, as you say, and 27th of November 2025 is 25 years of ETFs, and I see I'm being rolled out to talk at a couple of conferences. People are saying, well, here's this museum relic, he's still around, he was there when the first listings took place and he's still around, so hopefully I won't embarrass people too much and say something interesting. But yeah, so they have 25 years of growth, but it's really compounding. It took a long time to get off the ground, a lot of opposition and barriers to entry for the ETF business. But it's now, the momentum's there. And I would say, yes, you know, we're going to see, you know, the next 25 years, I think that industry will, as we've seen in America and elsewhere in the world, will eventually take over.
Yeah, absolutely.
The asset management industry in due course. And that's still quite a long way to go in South Africa, but it's on the pathway to becoming much more important in all our lives.
Yeah, we've seen that. I mean, I take a minute, it is small. They're at single asset managers with more than the entire ETP industry, but that is changing, that is shifting. We'll leave it there. Mike Brown, ETFSA, always appreciate the time.
Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money.
Thoughts from me on the likes of NVIDIA, TSMC, ASML. Do they have a Buffett-style investment moat? What got me thinking about it was a comment from Viv Govender yesterday. We were talking about the ASML results, and he mentioned their fancy ultraviolet lithographic machines. And he was like, you know, one day China's going to be able to make those machines. Not yet. And to be clear, the tech is phenomenal, but someone will get there. No idea when, but it'll happen. I was doing a presentation last night in investing like Warren Buffett, and that's really what got me thinking. Do they have the ASMLs, the NVIDIAs, the TSMCs, do they have a Buffett-style moat? And I don't think that they do. They have an advantage. Most certainly they do. And it's a huge advantage. The chips that NVIDIA is making, no one's particularly close at this point. TSMC and their ability to produce and manufacture the chips, and then ASML, of course, the equipment that the likes of TSMC and others, Intel, AMD, use to make those, you know, with 2, 3, 4 nanometer chips. But it's an advantage. It's not a moat. It's in many senses perhaps a monopoly.
But the competition is always improving. So is the big players. I mean, make no mistake, the three big tech giants are not standing still. But do they one day find real competition, someone who's doing as good or perhaps better products than them? I would wager that probably yes. The question is, we don't know when. Is it going to be this year? Nah, unlikely. Next year, 5 years, 10 years? That we don't know. But it's not a moat, which means we need to keep an eye on not only the big tech, but those coming up behind it. That's it for today. As I said, we were chatting with Viv Govende yesterday. We also chatted on the LVMH results, luxury. And that saw the entire luxury sector the world over jumping higher. LVMH was up some 15%. The likes of Richemont and others only up 5%. Ferrari race went backwards. But that was because of their capital markets day. Our question to you, are you bullish on luxury stocks? Some 40% said yes, looking great. A third said only at the high end. The rest said you were worried about the economy. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobukle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. Grey listing. Do we get off next week?
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.